Good morning, friends, and welcome to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. This morning, we want to talk about your conscience. Is your conscience a safe guide? A lot of times, people talk about how that they should just let their conscience be their guide. And so we want to study that this morning, and we want to look at the conscience, see what it is from God's Word. There's a lot of misunderstanding about the conscience of man. And so we need to study this subject from God's Word. And we're glad that you joined us this morning for the Let the Bible Speak program. We're always glad that you tune in, and we hope that you will profit from today's Bible study. You know, when it comes to the conscience, there are at least three false ideas about that. First of all, the false idea of let your conscience be your guide. Or somebody might say it doesn't matter what a person believes as long as he's sincere. A second false concept about the conscience is the conscience has nothing to do with salvation. And a third misconception about the conscience is when somebody says, let my conscience be your guide. And so we want to talk about the conscience. And we're not always going to have our parents around to tell us what is right and wrong. A young person, for example, might be out on a date. They might be at a party. They might be at school. And they need to do what is right. Their conscience, if guided by God's Word, will always guide them in the right way. The boss may not always be around. Our parents may not always be around. Law enforcement are not always around. We may not always have a Bible in our hands. What are we going to do in those situations when we're out by ourselves and these people of authority are not standing right over us? Will our conscience direct us in the right way? First of all, we want to define what the conscience is. God gives us that. It's a part of us when we're born. The English word conscience comes from a Latin word that means literally a knowledge or a feeling of right and wrong with a compulsion to do what is right. Today we have such phrases as a conscience clause, conscience money, conscience stricken, conscientious objector. This English word conscience comes from a Greek word. It's used when conscience is found in the New Testament, and the Greek is used in the New Testament. It means literally a knowing with, a joint knowledge, or a co-knowledge. And so we have the English word con, with, and science, to know. So a knowing with. There's a situation going on that we know about, and then our mind kicks in its own knowledge, and those two pieces of knowledge go together. So a man's knowledge, his inward sense, together goes with God's knowledge in the Bible, revealed truth. And so your, what we might call inner voice, your conscience, is supposed to match up with and join together with God's voice in the Bible. And so when we have a conscience, and our conscience tells us one thing or another, it passes a judgment upon what we're thinking, our words, our actions. And it may produce a sense of guilt, or it may produce a sense of innocency. If you turn with me to Romans chapter 2 and verse 15, this is one place where conscience is found. And we're told there by the Apostle Paul that it either accuses us or excuses us. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 15, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness with them. And we'll talk about that in just a minute, that a conscience is a witness. Their conscience bearing witness with them, and their thoughts one with another, accusing or else excusing them. So our conscience says, no, what you're doing is not right. or yes, what you're doing is right. And we'll talk a little bit more later in the lesson about how that yes or no needs to be guided by God's word, but it's passing a judgment. It's producing a sense of accusation or excusing, a sense of guilt or a sense of innocency. Really, I would liken a conscience more to an umpire in a baseball game than a guide. An umpire, when the pitch is thrown, calls a ball or a strike. Our conscience produces a judgment, a decision of right or wrong. What the court is to law, a conscience is to man. The court takes the written law and passes a judgment using it. The conscience, in a similar way, takes law, and hopefully God's law, and passes a judgment one way or the other. So our conscience, first of all, is literally a knowing with, a voice, we might call it the voice inside of our head, matching up with another voice, and that is the voice of God's word. What does the conscience do? Well, as we've just read in Romans 2 and verse 15, their conscience bearing witness therewith. A conscience acts as a witness. It decides between good and evil. It approves the good and disapproves the evil. It hopefully prompts a person to do good and avoid evil. Now, we're going to see in just a moment that you can have a different kind of conscience. There's all different kinds of consciences mentioned in God's word. But a proper conscience is going to decide between good and evil and approve of the good and disapprove of the evil. What kind of a conscience do you have this morning? What is your voice telling you inside your head right now, for example, about this lesson or about spiritual things, Bible matters, God, the existence of God, the Bible being the Word of God, Jesus Christ being the divine Son of God? What does your conscience say to you about those things? The importance of being a Christian, the necessity to assemble with other Christians every Sunday. What does your conscience tell you about that? What is your conscience telling you right now? Our conscience acts as a witness. And in the Word of God, there are different descriptions of the conscience. First of all, let's talk about the conscience of a righteous man. The scripture talks about a good conscience. Acts 23:1, 1 Timothy 1:5, Hebrews 13:18, 1 Peter 3:16. A good conscience. The scripture talks about a pure conscience. 1 Timothy 3:9, 2 Timothy 1:3. And then the scripture talks about a conscience void of offense. Acts 24:16. There's no judgment against us. Our conscience is not saying you have done wrong, you have offended. Do you have a good conscience, a pure conscience, a conscience void of offense? Where our conscience is matched up with the truth of God's word, and it always approves of the good and always disapproves of the evil. That's a good conscience, a pure conscience, a conscience void of offense. Is that what you have this morning, friend? It is if it's guided by God's word. When a young person grows up being guided by God's word, he's going to have that kind of a conscience. Unfortunately, today, there are many more people who are being raised without God's word at all. That's why if there's any parents listening this morning, I would urge you to raise your children on God's word. Otherwise, they're not going to have the conscience that they need to go through life and live right. That's why our Bible classes at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ are important. Bible-based sermons, home Bible studies. And contact us if we can help you to have those things. Come visit us. God's word is what we need to guide our conscience. And we'll talk about a conscience being a guide in just a minute. But do you have a good, pure, and conscience void of offense? Or do you have a conscience that is associated with evil and wickedness? In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22, we read about an evil conscience. In Titus 1 verse 15, we read about a defiled conscience. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, we read about a conscience that is branded and seared. Is that the kind of conscience you have that's evil and defiled? Where our thinking, our voice inside of us is telling us to do evil. It might call evil good and good evil. Isaiah talks about that in Isaiah chapter 5. Our conscience is twisted and warped. It's messed up. It's defiled. It has evil thinking, wicked thinking, because it's not guided by the Word of God. It's just guided by what our society is saying and what our friends are saying and what we want to do. And then if we have that kind of an evil and defiled conscience long enough, it will become branded and seared. This is just like the cowboy branding the cattle. You put that iron in the fire and you get it hot. And when you press it into the hide, the skin of the cow, there's a brand there. It burns in there and sears it. And so that becomes later a place where there's no feeling. The nerve endings have been branded and seared and heated with that hot iron, and they're dead now. And so a branded or seared conscience is a conscience that doesn't feel anymore. God's word does not affect it anymore for good. I am told that these fire walkers in various cultures, sometimes you'll see on National Geographic or some other program where they will document men and women walking on top of fire, coals. Well, the first time they do that, it really hurts. Because the nerve endings are still tender and with feeling. But you burn the bottom of your feet walking on coals. After a while, those nerve endings are seared and branded and dead, and it doesn't feel anymore. And so they can walk on fire. They can walk on coals. And it doesn't hurt them. It did at first. But the more you keep doing it, the less it hurts. And people with a branded and seared conscience, 1 Timothy 4:2, they simply keep doing over and over again in their mind, telling themselves, this is okay, this is okay. At the very beginning, they know it's not, but they just keep telling themselves that lie, and they get to the point where they don't feel anymore. It could be an action. It could be language they use. It could be immoral things that they look at. It could be actions. The first time they do it, their conscience says, you shouldn't do this. But you keep doing it over and over and over again, pretty soon your conscience says, I'm fine with you doing this. And when we get to that point and we have the conscience of a wicked person, that evil, defiled, branded conscience, that's what leads to damnation. The good and pure and conscience void of offense of the righteous man leads him to salvation. Which do you have? What kind of a conscience do I have? So, the conscience, number one, is literally a knowing with, a joint knowledge, a co-knowledge. Our inward sense is telling us what we should do. Is this right or is this wrong? Producing a sense of guilt or innocence before God. It acts as a witness. It acts as someone, as it were, standing up in our mind, shouting, do this or don't do this. I approve of this or I don't approve of this. And it can be a conscience of a righteous person or a conscience of a wicked person. What kind of a conscience do you have today, friends? In the rest of our program, I want to talk about three false ideas about the conscience. First of all, some have this idea that let your conscience be your guide. And so you get up each day and whatever your conscience says, that's what you do. This statement is often made to justify a person's actions. Maybe their own human authority or some man-made doctrine. Maybe their own ignorance. Or maybe religious division in the world. Let your conscience be your guide. You may recall in the book of Judges, chapter 21 and verse 15, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. It leads to moral decay. The conscience is a safe guide, but only insofar as it is guided by God's word. The conscience is a safe guide if it is guided safely by God's word. If your conscience is not guided by a regular reading of the Word of God, then your conscience is not a safe guide. It's going to guide you based upon what you think and feel and what you hear in society, which they themselves are not guided by God's Word. And so it's just anything goes. That's why we have the school shootings and the church shootings and the other acts of violence and sexual immorality and murder and theft and lying and drunkenness and spouse abuse and on and on and on. Drugs, drug abuse. People get up and they're just simply following their conscience. So no, it's not a safe guide. It's safe only as it is guided by God's word. You might have a conscience that you feel is right, but you can still be wrong. You can be mistaken about what you feel is right. The Apostle Paul talks about his conversion when he was Saul of Tarsus, and he was following a good conscience when he persecuted the church, Acts 23, verse 1. But he was wrong at that time, and he says so later that he was wrong. 1 Timothy 1:13, he describes himself as injurious or a violent aggressor. Why? He said he did it ignorantly in unbelief. And when he found out that he was wrong, he changed. But there was a time where he had a good conscience about persecuting Christians, dragging men and women and putting them in prison, Christian men and women. He did that in all good conscience, but his conscience was misguided because he was a Jew at the time, a Pharisee, and following what other Jews at that time were doing around him, Jewish authorities wanting to persecute Christians, and he followed that. That's what guided his conscience, not the truth of God's word. limited knowledge will create a limited conscience. Ignorance will create an ignorant conscience. And ignorance is no excuse. So, our conscience guides us. I prefer to describe it as an umpire, calling decisions or making judgments, but we can use the word guide. But if our conscience is not guided by the Word of God, it's going to guide us in the wrong way. Not only that, but friends, think about it. Somebody says, let your conscience be your guide. Well, then why would we even need a Bible? God gives us His Word and records it in the Scripture. Why would we even need that if our conscience alone is a safe guide? The Bible, friends, is the only safe guide. It is a light unto our way and a lamp unto our feet, Psalm 119:105. God's Word is infallible, not our conscience. And our conscience, we need to be reading God's Word, and that's what formulates a proper conscience. Let me ask you this. When you travel, do you follow your conscience or do you follow a map? Or today, using Google Maps on our phone, you just follow your conscience or do you follow the map? Where do we go when we're sick, extremely sick? Do we go to our conscience or do we go to a doctor? The same is true, friends, with regard to our spiritual relationship with God. We don't go to our conscience, we go to the Bible. And Jesus said in John 12 and verse 48 that the words that He spake will judge us in the last day, not our conscience. So we must turn to God's Word. So the first erroneous idea is this idea of let your conscience be your guide. No, God's Word is to be our guide, and our conscience is to be guided by God's Word. A second false idea about the conscience is that some believe that the conscience is completely untrustworthy, and it has nothing to do with our salvation. Well, if that's the case, why do we have so many descriptions of the conscience in the New Testament if it has nothing to do with salvation? We must answer the question, have I believed the gospel? Have I repented of my sins? Have I believed, Mark 16:15-16? Have I repented, Acts 2:38? Have I confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, Romans 10:9-10? Have I been baptized into Christ, Acts 22:16, Galatians 3:26-27? Am I continuing to live faithfully each day? I must walk worthy of the gospel, Ephesians 4:1 and following. My conscience is a part of salvation because my conscience is what accepts or rejects all of those things that I just mentioned. The believing of the gospel, repenting of my sins, confessing that Jesus is Christ, being baptized into Christ, living faithfully, my conscience is necessary for all of that. So it does have something to do with our salvation. God, through His Word, wants us to have a pure conscience. 1 Timothy 3:9, 2 Timothy 1:3. He wants us to have a good conscience. 1 Timothy 1:5, 1 Timothy 1:19. It is a part of being a faithful Christian, becoming a Christian and remaining faithful as a Christian. One more erroneous idea about the conscience is, let my conscience be your guide. In other words, what I think and feel, I'm going to make you believe the same thing. And Paul deals with this in two passages in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 8 and Romans 14. where he tells Christians in matters of judgment, this is not matters of right and wrong or morality, but matters in which it doesn't matter one way or the other with God if you practice it. And he gives an example of eating meat, for example. Some Christians wanted to eat meat in the first century. Others did not because of their background. And they were not to push their conscience on somebody else. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 10, "For if a man see thee who has knowledge sitting at meat in an idol's temple, will not his conscience, if it is weak, be emboldened to eat things sacrificed to idols?" So, here's a person who is eating meat, and here's another person who doesn't want to eat that because he knows that it was sacrificed to an idol and he doesn't want to have anything to do with that. You can infringe on his conscience. Will not his conscience, if it is weak, be emboldened to eat things? He's going to go against that when he sees you. He might do it because he sees you. He wants to fit in with that, go against his conscience, and violate it. And so we're not supposed to bind our opinion or scruple and overthrow somebody else's conscience. Paul brings up the same thing in Romans chapter 14. So we don't need to let our conscience be someone else's guide. Keep our opinions and scruples to ourselves. Now, if we're talking about matters of right and wrong in the Word of God, that's a completely different matter. That is something that must be followed. It must be adhered to. But in 1 Corinthians 8 and Romans 14, Paul is talking about the personal and private consciences. Friends, we need to have a conscience that is guided by God's Word. What kind of a conscience do you have? As we come to the close of our lesson, what kind of a conscience do you have? Is it good, pure, void of offense, or is it evil, defiled, and branded and seared? How is your conscience guided? Are you reading God's Word daily? Or is it guided by the news media and the Hollywood and movies and music and the internet? What's guiding your conscience, your friends, your family? And then last of all, where is your conscience taking you? If a conscience is a guide, as so many people talk of it, where is it guiding you? Is it guiding you to heaven? Or is it guiding you to hell? If our conscience is guided by God's Word every day, it's guiding us to heaven. If not, it's guiding us to hell, even though we might think great about it, and we're comfortable with it, and we're okay with it. It's not guiding us in the right way. Friends, contact us if we can study together. If we can study God's Word together so that you can have that good and pure conscience, please contact us. Thank you for joining us on the Let the Bible Speak program, and have a good day.